him to read that psalm because that's Brother Mahan's favorite psalm, Psalm 143. If you have an opportunity to reread it later this afternoon or this evening, read that. He's in very poor condition, and yet he asks everyone who comes to visit him to read that scripture to him. It seems to soothe his soul and bless him, and it's amazing how the Word of God will do just that. And so we're thankful for him and his faithfulness for these many years to the gospel, and these his apparently his last days upon this earth. We pray for him that all the pain and that sort of thing will be relieved, and as the family has asked us to just pray that God would take him home to glory. If you would go with me to Acts chapter 16 again today. And last Lord's Day, we spent some time at least introducing Acts chapter 16. What we have this morning in the scripture that I feel led to give to you from verses 9 through 18 is a message entitled The Way of Salvation. Here we find the way of salvation, and these are the words of a woman who actually was a witch. And she was speaking of the preachers, and he said, these men, they're the ones who show us the way of salvation. Now let me show you how this develops. The Apostle Paul and Silas and Timothy, Luke will also join them. They're preaching the gospel, and they wanted to go into Asia and preach, but the Lord wouldn't let them go there. And so they weren't exactly sure what to do. And when you're not sure what to do, you don't do anything. They just waited for God to give some indication of where they needed to go. And we know that the Apostle Paul had a vision. And if you would, look down at verse 9. And a vision appeared to, Acts 16:9, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia. Macedonia was a province of Rome. Of course, these are Gentiles. And here's what the man said. And I feel like this is an angel who took the form of a man to give a message to this, the Apostle Paul. And here's what he said. He said, come over into Macedonia and help us. And that expression of desire to help us means render aid to us. We need aid, A-I-D. We need someone to come over and render aid. Well, what kind of aid would he render them? Well, he didn't have money. We know that. He was very much like Simon Peter back in Acts chapter 3. You remember when he, Peter and John went to the temple and there was a man begging there? He had his little cup out or whatever, and he was asking for alms. He was asking for money. And you remember what Simon Peter said? He said, silver and gold have I none. I can't aid you financially. I don't have the means to help you financially, but I can aid you in a much better way, in a way that you never dreamed of. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And later we find this man, he's praising God. The Lord did something to him physically, and the Lord did something for him spiritually. He was made to be a recipient of the grace of God. God dealt with him in mercy. And he was brought to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that one who is such an amazing person, who had such authority that in his name this man was able to walk. And that's how Peter rendered aid to that man. And so here's a man of Macedonia who says in a vision to the Apostle Paul, come over and aid us. Render aid to us. We need you to help us. And they were anxious and willing to go. You know, I want to render aid to you this morning. Now, the aid that I can render to you is not financially, although I've got a couple of bucks, and if you're really in a bad way, I'll help you out as best I can. But I'm not here this morning to render aid to you any other way except in this way, to set before you the things of God, to set before you the Lord Jesus and Him crucified. The best thing I can do for you is to simply declare unto you the Lord Jesus Christ and His work of redemption. My friend, you need the Savior. And many of you know that, and many of you have the Lord Jesus Christ. He's been revealed to you by the efficacious grace of God. Efficacious. What does that mean, preacher? Gets the job done. The Lord has done a mighty work within you. And if you rejoice in Christ crucified, if you rejoice in God's free salvation, if you see the necessity of the blood redemption of the Son of God, if you understand that He died that God might be just and justify the ungodly, God has indeed done a work of grace within your heart. And I don't know who the minister was who preached the gospel to you, and really that doesn't matter. What does matter is that God sent you somebody to render aid to you. Now, he's going over, the Apostle Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke, they're going over into Macedonia. And specifically, they're going to the city of Philippi. Look at verse 10. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, and we assuredly gathered that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. The Lord opened a door. The Lord opened a door. You see, if God calls a man to preach the gospel, he'll give him somewhere to preach the gospel. He'll give him a people to preach the gospel to. Now, we've noted last week there were several locations where Paul and Silas and Timothy wanted to go and preach, but the Lord forbade them. They couldn't go. The Spirit of God said no. And the reason was because there was another place that the Lord would have them go. You know, the Lord can send His messengers anywhere He wants to. There were many, many villages, cities in Asia, in Europe, within traveling distance of the Apostle Paul. He traveled hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles. The Lord could have sent these men, these preachers of the gospel, men who knew the truth, men who understood how God can be just and justify the ungodly. The Lord could have sent them, these men, to any number of locations, but the Lord in His sovereign mercy directs him, go to Philippi. Go to Philippi. I'm going to open a door for you to preach the gospel. Now, as far as Philippi is concerned, it seemed to be the most unlikely place for a man to go and preach the gospel, for God to send His great apostle to preach there. It was like the writers say, like a miniature Rome. It was full of paganism. It was a military city, a very, very strong military city. And these soldiers, ungodly, unruly, rough guys, representing Rome, keeping law and order there by whatever means they chose. They always carried, the soldiers always carried with them some rods that were bound together, and right in the middle they kept an axe. And if they needed to, they'd just kill you if you were breaking if they considered you breaking the law. They'd pull the axe out and kill you. If you weren't worthy of death, in their estimation, they took the axe out. Then they just beat you nearly to death. In fact, sometimes they did beat people to death with the rods. They were birch rods, and they bound them together. And these guys were rough. This is the kind of situation where God sends His preachers. He could have sent them anywhere, but He sent them there. Which leads me to say this: God can send His message of grace wherever He wants to. And look how He's blessed this city, this location. I have many people who contact me, and they'll tell me where they live, and some of them watching by way of internet this morning undoubtedly. And they'll say to me, "Do you know of anybody in this area who preaches the gospel?" I had somebody from way out west, a couple wrote to me, and they said, "Is there anybody out here preaching the gospel that you know of?" And there may be, but I don't know. I don't know of anybody out there in the particular state they were talking about. It's a very barren area. Well, why is it that some areas are privileged to have the gospel? They hear of Christ and Him crucified. They hear of the grace of God. They hear of the mercy of God. They hear God identified in His rightful character as sovereign and holy and just. They hear of man's awful depravity, of man's sinfulness and ungodliness. And they hear the good news of redemption fully accomplished by Christ Jesus at the cross of Calvary for the people of God. Why is it that some people are privileged to hear that message? And other people, they don't have that privilege. It's because God sends His preachers wherever He wants to. Wherever God sends His preachers, there's sure to be somebody there that God intends to listen to the Word. In fact, hold your place here in Acts chapter 16. Look over in Acts 18. This is where Paul went to the city of Corinth. He's left Athens. He goes to the city of Corinth, and he met a lot of opposition. In fact, he was blasphemed, and people opposed him. And in fact, in verse 6, he said, "Your blood be upon your head. I'm clean. From henceforth, I'll go to the Gentiles." That was the Jews. He's preaching in the synagogue. Look at verse 7. "And he departed thence. He entered into a man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, who was a chief ruler of the synagogue, he believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to the apostle Paul in the night by a vision. He said, 'Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace.'" Apparently he was afraid. I mean, the Lord wouldn't say, "Don't be afraid," if the man wasn't afraid for his life. And the Lord said, "Go ahead and just preach. Just preach. Don't hold your peace." Verse 10. He says, "For I'm with you. I'm with you." I told you one time, Scott, I was going through a little rough spell, and Scott Richardson called me up. He said, "I want you to know I'm for you. I'm for you." And the Lord says, "I'm not only for you, I'm with you. I'm with you." He says, no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. And here's the reason he wanted him to stay. He said, "I have much people in that city." Well, they had never heard the gospel, but they were already the Lord's people. They were the Lord's people from old eternity. The Lord had chosen them unto salvation, and the Lord Jesus had already redeemed them. He had already paid their ransom price, but they got to hear the gospel. And the Lord said, "You just stay right where you're at, doing what you're doing, and don't be afraid. I've got much people in that city. And even so, over here in Acts chapter 16, who would have thought that the Lord had much people in Philippi? Why, it seemed the most unlikeliest of places to send his preachers. A rough city, a godless city, a city given to a pagan idolatry. And yet, that's where the Lord sent Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke. Notice he says, so immediately, verse 10, we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. This is the way he's going to render aid to them. The man of Macedonia had said, come over and help us, aid us. Well, what kind of aid will they render to the people of Macedonia, specifically to the people in Philippi? Will they build hospitals? A lot of people, a lot of so-called missionaries say, we're going to render aid to these nations, third world nations or whatever, but we're going to go over there, we're going to build them a hospital. Well, hospitals are good things. But God's preachers don't render aid that way. Well, how are you going to render aid? Build orphanages? Orphanages are a wonderful thing, but that God's preachers, you see, people who don't know the gospel can build hospitals and they can build orphanages, and those are good things. They can render financial aid. Well, then what kind of aid do these preachers, what kind of aid are they going to render to the people in Philippi in the Roman province of Macedonia? Here's the aid they will render. They'll tell them about everlasting salvation for their souls. That's the aid they're going to render. I can't do much for you physically. I can't do much for you in this life as far as your bodies are concerned. I give you a little advice if you want it, but hey, my advice is, I got opinions about everything just like everybody else does, but I can give you this. I can tell you about the Lord. I can tell you about salvation. I can tell you about how you be right with God. I can tell you about how that you can have confidence and assurance that when you leave this world, which all of us will, you go directly to be with Christ Jesus and you see him face to face. I can tell you about that. I can tell you about him whose glory is higher than the heavens, deeper than the sea. I can tell you about his honors. I can tell you about his majesty. I can tell you about his person. He's God and he's man. I can tell you what he did. He lived under the law of God to perfection. I can tell you why he did it. Why he did it. He did it to honor God. And he did it in our stead. And I can tell you what he endured at the cross of Calvary. The wrath of man and then all of the wrath of God that should have fallen upon his people and would have fallen upon us forever had not Christ been our substitute. I can tell you about him. This is the aid I can render to you. I can tell you about the bloody death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can tell you that his blood washes away all sin. I can tell you this. He never turns anybody away who comes to him for mercy and grace and salvation. I can tell you that. I can render aid to you that way. And that's what Paul, he goes into Macedonia. He said, I'm absolutely sure the Lord has called us to preach the gospel. So immediately, verse 11, they loosed from Troas. They boarded a ship. They came with a straight course to Samothracia, the next day to Neapolis, and verse 12, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. We were in the city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by riverside. Now, those of you who are very familiar with the book of Acts, especially the ministry of the Apostle Paul, let me ask you a question, and don't answer out loud, but answer it on in your own mind. Whenever this man went to a city, where's the first place he'd go to preach? A synagogue, right? That's what you find through his missionary journey. First missionary journey, second missionary journey, and third missionary journey, he would go and find a synagogue. He'd find some Jews who were meeting on the Sabbath. But evidently there wasn't a synagogue there. There weren't many Jews there. You had to have so many Jews in a city for a synagogue to be built. And so there weren't enough Jews. And so on this Sabbath morning, they just set out walking. Now you got to understand, Philippi is a big city. A big city. With a main river running through there for navigation. Goods were shipped in through the river. A big river. And there was by a riverside some women meeting to worship God. Now, they didn't know the gospel, but they did have some idea there of God, and God had to be worshipped. But they're meeting by riverside. Look at verse 13. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by riverside where prayer was wont to be made. What are the odds? In a big city. By riverside, trees overhanging. What are the odds that here God's preachers walking along, that they would come upon these women meeting together? I'm going to tell you something. This is by divine appointment. That's what this is. This is due to the appointment of God. He sends his preachers where they're needed. These men, these women are meeting, but they're meeting with a good intention of worshiping God, there's a lot of ignorance there. They don't know the gospel of Christ Jesus, but they do believe there's a God. This God needs to be worshiped, and they're doing the best they could as far as worshiping Him. And here comes the Apostle Paul and these other preachers. And he says in verse 13, Luke says, we sat down, and we spake unto the women which resorted thither. We began to speak to them, and I don't think there's any question about the fact it was the Apostle Paul who would do the preaching. He's the chief spokesman of the group anyway. And a certain woman, not just any woman, a certain woman, a woman God knew, a woman God loved, a woman God ordained to be there that day, a woman who needed to hear the gospel of Christ Jesus, a woman whom the Lord chose unto salvation before He ever made the world, a woman whose sins had already been remitted through the blood of the Lord Jesus. A certain woman was there. Is there a certain woman here this morning? Is there a certain man here this morning? A certain boy or girl here this morning? And the Lord intends for this message to go to your heart? You see, as the message went out in verse 14, it says, of Lydia, a seller of purple, God opened her heart. Now here's the order. She was there, verse 14. She worshiped God. She's in the right place. She's in the right place. And I can tell you this morning. I don't know why you're here. Don't know what brought you here. Well, the divine providence did. But you're in the right place. If you're watching by way of internet, you're tuned in to the right location on sermon audio. Because this is where you're going to hear the truth. And it says, not only was she in the right place, she heard us. Listen, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. You've got to hear. How shall they hear without a preacher? You've got to hear the truth. This old adage, well, I can worship God, I can learn about God anywhere. Well, there's a little bit of truth in that. The heavens declare His glory. You can find out about the glory of God there. And as these women looked at the river and saw the trees growing along the river and maybe the wildflowers, they could admire the beauties of the Lord and the creative glories of the Lord. But I tell you, those things won't teach you how God can be a just God and a Savior. It says she heard us. She listened. I don't know whether God will do anything for you in your heart or not. I don't know whether God be pleased to show you mercy or not. That is His business. But I will tell you this. If He's going to show you mercy, if He's going to give grace to you, it will be as you hear the Word of God. It will be as a result of the Word of God coming into you through the ear gates. If you don't come hear the Word of God, there's no possibility. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You got to hear God's Word. So she's in the right place. She's doing the right thing. And then the Lord opened her heart. She didn't open her own heart. Had no ability. The Apostle Paul didn't open her heart. Hey, Luke was a physician. Somebody recruited him. He was a doctor. And he was recruited to be Paul's physician. Undoubtedly his personal physician, because Paul had some physical issues. But Luke, who could maybe perform some kind of rude or crude heart surgery back in those days, he couldn't do this kind of heart surgery. It's the surgery on the mind, on the intellect, on the inner man. The Lord opened her heart. And as a result, she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. She gave heed. You know what that means? She believed. She believed the message. She believed the message. The Apostle Paul, he believed that God was sending him into Philippi. And here's a woman who is privileged to hear him, said under his preaching. And under that preaching, she attended to the things that were spoken. Now look at verse 15. She confessed Christ. She was baptized in her household. The rest of them believed. Now, the Lord arranged this meeting. As we stated last week, and you can read in verses 6 and 7 and 8, the Apostle Paul wanted to go to these various places, and the Spirit of God said, no, you can't go to those places. Because there was a specific location the Lord wanted him to preach right then. Now, as far as, and I'll back up just a little bit, in verse 7 it says they essayed to go to Bithynia. Did you know in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1, Peter writes to the strangers and the sojourners who were at Bithynia. Guess what? God established a church there. But this wasn't the time. There was another location where the Lord would use His servants. And so this woman, she was baptized, and her household believed. And he says, if you judge me to be faithful to the Lord, if you have determined I'm a true believer, I want you to stay with me. Evidently, she rented a house there, and she constrained us. Now look at verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. She's filled with the devil. She is a fortune teller. She's a witch. Evil woman. She had power, the power of the devil. Verse 17, the same followed Paul and us, and here's what she cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which they show unto us the way of salvation. And this she did many days, always saying the same thing. These men are the servants of the Most High God. That's true. Which show unto us, which manifest unto us, which they speak to us of the way of salvation. And that's true. But she was mocking them, and she did this many days, over and over and over again. These men show us the way of salvation, the way of salvation, the way of salvation. Over and over and over again, she said that. Finally, in verse 18, Paul got tired of it. Being grieved, he turned and said to the spirit, to the evil spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. Hey, he had apostolic gifts. He was an apostle. And he said, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. You know, here's something to lay hold of. It is very possible that even an agent of the devil can tell the truth sometimes. She's demon possessed. But the words that she spoke were accurate. The words that she spoke were, these men are the servants of the Most High God. The demon within her knew the Son of God. It's like those demons, our Lord, remember our Lord cast the demons out of the wild man of Gadara? Cast them out. And when he came to them, they said, are you come to deal with us, to judge us before the time? They know who he is and they know what kind of power he's got. And here is the Apostle Paul, commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ and empowered, and he commands this demon to come out. But this woman, though filled with a demon, she spoke the truth. These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. The way of salvation. The way of salvation. She didn't even realize what she was saying. They show us the way of salvation. But that's an accurate statement, and that's exactly what God's preachers do. They show us, they manifest to us, they set before us the way of salvation. And listen, the way of salvation is somebody. Christ said, when one of his disciples, Thomas said, Lord, you're talking about going away. We don't know where you're going. We don't know the way. Our Lord Jesus looked at Thomas and the rest of the disciples. He said, I am the way. I'm the way of salvation. I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man cometh unto me, to the Father, but by me. These men show unto us the way of salvation. I tell you, I don't know a preacher of the gospel anywhere who wouldn't want it put on their tombstone or their grave marker, he showed us the way of salvation. That'd be pretty good one. He showed us the way of salvation. Well, what'd your preacher preach yesterday? Somebody asked you that, say this. He showed us, he told us about the way of salvation. Our Lord Jesus said in John chapter 10, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. I show you, I set before you, I manifest to you as best I can the way of salvation. And the way of salvation is the way of the crucified Christ. So I don't want you to leave here this morning in ignorance. And I know you won't. What does our pastor preach? He preaches the way of salvation. And the way of salvation is, Hebrews chapter 10 says, a new and living way. A new and living way. Not a dead way. Oh, our Lord Jesus, He did die, but He ever lives. He arose. He lives to make intercession for us. It's a new and living way. These men show us the way of salvation. And this evening, we're going to get into this a little bit more, beginning with verse 19, because after this happened, these men get arrested, especially Paul and Silas. Not sure what happened to Luke and Timothy, but Paul and Silas, they get arrested on account of this. And the reason they got arrested, because the men who had the rights, as it were, to this woman and her gifts of divination, her gifts of soothsaying, they were losing money. And you and I both know this is the bottom line is money. And they were losing money. And, well, who'd they go after? They went after the preacher who cast the demon out of her. These men are the servants of the Most High God. That's a good title, a servant of the Most High God. And these tell us the way of salvation. May God bless us all with the knowledge of Christ and Him crucified. Let's get our